It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the past 4 months, the number of confirmed cases of COVID in the U.S. has risen dramatically. Our country currently has the largest outbreak in the world. And in recent weeks, as states reopen, infections have spread rapidly, Wisconsin being no exception, recording a record number of cases on consecutive days this week. What questions do you have about our state's response to COVID-19? What rules and requirements is your locality putting in place as numbers spike? We're at 800-642-1234. Andrea Palm is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Secretary Palm, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Glad to be here.
What is causing this spike, the increases? What's going on?
So I think, as you mentioned in your intro, Kate, you know, we, as the state and as the country has started to reopen, you're just seeing what we know about this virus, which is that it continues to be contagious. And so it's not surprising as things are reopening that we are seeing increases in cases, right? I think the trick is, how do you manage this virus on a daily basis so that you are minimizing the spread as much as possible, but finding a balance so that there is some ability to return a little bit to more normal life. And I think what we're seeing now is that calibrating. You know, you open and then it goes too far, and so you close a little bit, and then, right, everybody's trying to find that balance while we continue to try to protect each other.
How is DHS managing this time, managing the rise?
So I think there are a number of things that we think are really important to make sure that we are doing, and right, that is continuing to expand our testing capacity, make sure that we are supporting local communities around the state who need access to testing, that we are using our contact tracing resources to help communities that are seeing surges so that they have what they need to quickly do the contact tracing that needs to happen to stop the spread, that we are using our bully pulpit to help people understand that the virus is still here, that it's still spreading, that we still need to do the hard work of protecting each other, and that we really are supporting local public health with data and information that helps them understand what's going on the ground to inform the decisions they need to make at the local level to protect their communities.
Secretary, how are the state's hospitals doing right now in handling the increase in positive cases and also in terms of testing?
You know, one of the things we focused on early in this outbreak with our partners in healthcare was building surge capacity. So, you know, local hospitals at the and within their region worked together. They made plans. They have agreements about sharing resources. We built an alternate care facility for surge that was outside of the ability of a hospital to manage it within their plans, and so we continue to work closely with them to have ongoing conversations about the what they're seeing in their hospitals, how they're managing the load, and they certainly are working hard. They're busy, as we've seen increases in cases, but they are absolutely managing this and know that we're here if they need us.
So busy, but keeping up.
Yes.
Well, let's look at the young infections. Adults between the ages of 20 to 29 are making up the majority of this spike in positive cases. What are you seeing in this age group?
In early April, folks in the 20 to 29 age bracket were about 11% of our total cases here in the state of Wisconsin. They're now like 23%. And so we certainly are seeing, as things are opening up and they are circulating more, that we are absolutely seeing an increase in cases among that age group. They are a big part of what we're seeing in the state as part of our surge. And so one of the things we want to make sure that they hear and understand is that while they have traditionally in the history of this pandemic not been as adversely impacted from a health perspective. They don't get as sick. They still are susceptible. They still can get the virus. They still can spread it to others. And so we need to help them make good decisions, to be part of the solution, to understand that they put other people at risk if they are infected and spread it, and help them help us be part of the solution moving forward.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Andrea Palm, the secretary designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. And you can bring your questions on COVID-19 and the state response as you see it. Join in 800-642-1234. Secretary, let's look at contact tracing and how the ramp up has gone. How many contact tracers are there in Wisconsin right now?
Mm-hmm. So the state has about 400 in our stable. We've hired about 200 LTEs, 93 of which are bilingual. One of the things we heard from our partners around the state was that that was a service, a value add that we as a state could help fill that gap and provide those kinds of services as they were doing their contact tracing work. And so we certainly focused there. When that request, when we heard it over and over again across the state. And it is important to your point, Kate, to remember that our assets are on top of local public health contact tracing assets and the hiring that they're doing in their own communities. And so we very much want to be a wrap for them. If they're seeing a surge, they need extra resources to get through the cases so that we're doing it timely, that we provide resources to them to help do that contact tracing, and then those assets are available for a surge somewhere else or another community that needs help. And so we're managing our contact resources like that in partnership with local communities who are also staffing up.
Well, let's take a call now. Kia is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Kia.
Hey. I am an urgent care nurse, and I just wanted to comment that even though we've seen a recent increase in cases in our area, that we've been able to handle it well. So I've been really proud of the organization I work for, that we've done a really good job to have enough capacity for patients. And actually, we've been busy with non-COVID patients for the most part. So just wanted to speak to our region's been doing really well as far as the response goes.
Kia, do you find that you have enough PPE, personal protective equipment?
Yes. From the beginning of all of this, I've always felt very safe when I go to work. So in that regard, too, I've been very happy with our response.
How are you holding up as a nurse?
I'm doing really well. Initially, there was a lot of unknowns, so there was a lot of anxiety regarding it. And then as time went on and we've gotten a better handle on it, it's kind of taken the fear factor out of it for me. So still definitely just trying to minimize risk when I'm at work for myself and patients. But overall, I feel more like we're starting to see the repercussions of kind of on the periphery of other things that have been harmed for people's health, just in mental health issues and just delayed care for other things. Yeah. So that's more what I'm doing now.
Kia, thank you so much for your work and for calling in. Secretary Palm, you know, Kia saying anxiety was high at first, mm-hmm. but it's manageable now, but very concerned mm-hmm. about mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would echo Kate. Thank you so much, Kia, for your call, for your comments, for your work in this. It's just such an important perspective. But I think she raises a really important point, whether it's anxiety and fear and isolation that this pandemic has brought from a mental health perspective, and the need that we all have to make sure that we are paying attention to that and reaching out if we need help, making sure that we're checking on each other in that regard, and taking care of each other and making sure that our friends and relatives are not unduly burdened by anxiety or depression or things that could, you know, that feed into our overall health and well-being, and that they're getting help if they need it. But Kia also mentioned deferred care, and I think that's another really important thing as hospitals have turned to managing this in a more day-to-day way. The care that has been deferred, we certainly are encouraging folks not to neglect other parts of their health care and want them to seek and receive the care they need to be healthy more broadly. And so what Kia mentioned is an important thing, because deferred care does result in negative outcomes to your health. And so, again, it's that balance. How do we find the balance of meeting our health care needs, both COVID and non-COVID, so that we can be as healthy as we can during this unprecedented time?
Secretary Palm, this being the holiday weekend when families gather for cookouts, for fireworks, what would you say for people who are trying to get their family together?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with this uptick in cases, with this surge, we certainly are encouraging folks to be very vigilant and to think seriously about containing themselves to their family unit as much as possible and reducing exposure to additional people. It is how we will stop this, the incline that we're seeing in this spike in cases. And so for a holiday weekend like this, people are going to want to be outside. They're going to want to think about ways to gather, to celebrate. And so I would encourage folks, wear a mask if you're going to be in public or in a gathering with folks. Make sure that you're socially and physically distanced. A mask is not a substitute for physical distancing. You should do both. And obviously, stay home if you're sick. Do those good hygiene things. But we would encourage folks to think twice about participating in gatherings that could spread the disease.
Secretary Andrea Palm with us. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Indoor bar service is shut down in Dane County ahead of the holiday weekend following a surge of new cases. Under the order, bars can keep patios open if they have them. And across the country, new clusters of cases have been found through gatherings in bars, in churches, other recently reopened places. Biggest outbreak clusters, though, nursing homes, food processing plants, correctional facilities, all places where social distancing is tricky. So what do you think about mask wearing? How do you feel about schools reopening in the fall? Have you received a call from a contact tracer? How did it go? Join in 800-642-1234. We have DHS Secretary Designee Andrea Palm, who stays with us. Secretary Palm, as we were talking there about mask wearing ahead of our gatherings, what is the role of masks right now? When would you advise people wear them, and how should they treat them?
Mm-hmm. So I do think it's important for folks to wear masks when they're in public or in a gathering that, you know, is more than their immediate family unit. And what we have learned through this pandemic is that it's really, wearing a mask really is about protecting other people. It's not so much about protecting yourself, but if you have mild symptoms or if you don't have any symptoms but are a positive case and just don't know it, wearing that mask will help stop the spread of those respiratory droplets, which are the way this disease spreads. And so it's a simple way to help reduce the spread of the disease that can have a large impact on our ability to you know, reduce disease and stop the spread.
Circling back to contact tracing here for just a moment, what are these reports, these contact tracing reports, telling you about the spread? What type of events or activities are you seeing that is causing some of the most of the infections?
Mm-hmm. So our contact tracers are reporting at the local level that very consistent with what you said, Kate, at the top of this segment, where there are gatherings, barbecues, birthday parties, you know, house parties, bars, restaurants, gatherings, any place where you are bringing people together in a way that is not socially distanced and where people are not wearing masks, you're going to have some spread if there are positive people in that room. And so it is a function of reopening and, again, of finding the right balance about how you reduce spread but allow some return to some semblance of normalcy. And the more we do as individuals to reduce the spread, the easier it will be to have openings in ways that people want to see them. And so physical distancing, wearing a mask, all good hygiene, staying home when you have symptoms, all those things that we've been talking about and we're tired of talking about since the beginning will help reduce spread.
Secretary, is DHS able to keep up with facility investigations right now when there are multiple outbreaks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the interesting things that you see in our data from last week to this week is actually the number of active outbreaks we have went down slightly. And I think some of that is a factor of seeing more community spread as opposed to it being about a workplace or a nursing home or a place as much as, as the root of that outbreak. Because of community spread and people gathering it in all sorts of places, in homes, in other places, it's become more pervasive. I think you're seeing us move to something that's a little less outbreak-based, and that's just the evolution of this pandemic. But we continue to work with local public health. We continue to surge contact tracing resources and community testing resources to make sure that we are helping local public health do the investigations necessary for these outbreaks, right? We set a really low threshold, a single case in a nursing home, and two cases in other types of facilities. And that we set it so low so that we were driving ourselves to be really vigilant, to get there quickly, to be part of the team that is helping to stop the spread. And that is an important part of the work we need to do moving forward.
Andrea Palm is with us, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, answering your questions on COVID-19 and the state response as it stands at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mary now, joining us from Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Good morning to you and your guest. What I wanted to say is that some people say, well, I woke up in America and I don't have to wear a mask. It's my freedom. And, well, you can't walk out nude either. I think it should be throughout the states that anyone needs to wear a mask in public. It is a sign of respect for another human being that we don't want. And the same people that aren't wearing masks, i.e. our own leadership, air quotes, that are probably not going to get the vaccine. We won't have the herd effect. And this pandemic will be around forever. And how would we like that? Not very well.
All right, Mary, I want to have Secretary Palm jump in first on the point that, Mary saying mask wearing should be mandatory. What authority does Wisconsin have to make some mandatory guidelines around mask wearing?
Mm-hmm. So we obviously want to use all the tools in our toolbox to help protect Wisconsinites. And certainly a number of local jurisdictions are looking at mask requirements. Some businesses have put them in place for participation in their services or in entering their stores. And so we continue to strongly encourage mask wearing. I think Mary brings up a really good set of points. And I think it's important for us to understand that the virus is the bad guy, right? That's what part of what she's saying is the virus is the bad guy. None of this is where we want to be. We didn't choose this pandemic, but together we can work to fight it. And wearing a mask is something we can do for each other. And so we certainly are encouraging folks to do that as much as they can.
In the moments we have left here, I want to touch on education because, you know, school districts, superintendents will be making some of the toughest decisions they've probably ever made this month as they look to the fall. What would you advise them?
Yeah. So we were very pleased to be able to consult with DPI when they were putting together their framework for reopening of schools. And we will continue to bring our public health expertise to the table in whatever ways local school districts need us or DPI more broadly. But I think right, the goal of DPI's framework was to give some options to local schools who are working with their teachers and their parents and their students to make decisions about what's best for them at the local level. And right, that could be alternate days of in-school and online learning. It'll impact extracurricular activities and other ways that a normal school year would go. And you're right, these are super tough decisions. I think one thing I would certainly say is we're gonna, the decision we make today will likely change in 2 weeks and the 2 weeks after that, as we learn more, as we see what's happening on the ground, as this disease ebbs and flows, and we'll need to be nimble and be okay to make those kind of changes and decisions to reflect what's happening with this outbreak and what we need to do differently to combat it. And right, that's okay. Nobody loves change, but this pandemic has taught us that we've got to be able to respond to the current state of affairs and do what we need to do. And so we're going to have to continue to change and work within the realities that we're learning on a day-to-day basis through this outbreak.
Secretary Palm, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Kate. I really appreciate it.
Andrea Palm, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Just ahead, we talk with a criminologist about what police reform looks like. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.